It's going to drive me crazy if I don't fix that. So, there. Alrighty. Hebrews chapter number 11. I need y'all's prayer, especially those of you that are saved this morning. The message that I feel God's put in my heart, I just need direction as we go through it. There's a couple things I want to look at. If the Lord will help us this morning, I want to look at steps of faith. Steps of faith. We'll read verse number 6, then we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message that I think God has for us this morning. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Speaking of God. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." That's what the verse is saying. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I desperately need Your help this morning. Lord, I want to give Your message, not my opinion. Your Word, Your truth is the only thing that'll make a difference. Lord, I think I'm on track this morning. But if I don't have Your touch, as I stand up here and try to share the truth from Your Word, Lord, no matter what I try, no matter how long I've been in the study, no matter what I've done, none of that matters if You're not going to be in it. It was brought up this morning as Caleb was looking into John chapter 15. "Without me, ye can do nothing." Those were Your words. Lord, I don't know what You want to do in this service, but I ask that You would have Your will. That the hearts of those here this morning, that they would be receptive to Your truth. That we would open up our hearts to hear what Your Word has to say. Not my opinion. It's not about me. It's never has been. It's about You. Lord, I pray that You would accomplish the work that You want to do. You promised in Your Word that it would not return forth void. Lord, I'm trusting in that this morning, and I desperately need You. Have Your will and way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just want to kind of give a little introduction to this before we get into the meat of the message. I just want to ask a question to every one of you sitting here today. I don't care how old, how young you are. Don't care how long you've been in church or whether you've not been in church at all. Do you wish to please God? Do you want to please God? That's the question. If you don't want to please Him, then this isn't going to matter one bit to you. If you don't believe He exists, this ain't going to matter not one bit to you. We have heard, I believe God's been here already this morning. From the beginning of the songs, talking about heaven, talking about Him coming back, to the hymn we just got to sing together, "Victory in Jesus." I don't know whether some of you sitting here, I don't know all of you, I don't know whether some of you in here believe that or not, but let me tell you, there's such a thing as heaven and hell. There's such a thing as a God that is real, somebody that you can know personally. Somebody that loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die in your stead, to take your sins upon Himself. There is such a thing as a God. And if you can't grasp that, then your purpose in life will never be found. You will go through this life searching for peace that you can never find. There will be an emptiness inside your heart that you search high and low for, far and near. You can search in the alcohol, the drugs, all the addictions the world has to offer. You can search in the success that the world has to offer. Go ahead, make a lot of money. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul?" May I say that the only thing that ought to matter to you this morning, the only thing that ought to matter to you in life, is where you stand with your Savior, your God, the one that created you, the one that died for you. You know, we can find a lot of things in life, and maybe your philosophy of life might make sense to you, but I can say if it isn't in this book, it doesn't actually matter. I care nothing for anybody's opinion. It doesn't matter to me. I don't even care about my own opinion. It doesn't matter either. All that I care about is this book. All that I want my life to be defined by is this book. It was recently told me, I was talking to a coworker who claims to be a Christian, but when it came up to the things of the Bible, he believes, he thinks that you can have some negotiation with God. Those were his exact words, actually. And he is convinced that he doesn't have to be too serious about the things of God here in this life, and that when he gets to stand before God, he's going to somehow negotiate his way into heaven. I tell you, that man is as lost as a ball in high weeds. There is no such thing as negotiation. Either you meet God on His terms here, or you don't meet Him in the way you wanted to meet Him. There is such a day as coming judgment from God. I was talking to another coworker not that long ago. Another man, he claims to be saved. I doubt it. But there was another coworker standing nearby who was not saved. There's no doubt about that. Says he believes in God. I just found out this recently, but he doesn't want anything to do with, as he calls it, organized religion. And I would say for 99% of what he's calling that, I would totally agree with him too. But this coworker came up in the conversation. I don't need to go into all the details, but he ended up getting very cynical when it came to the subject of hell. To his credit, he apologized. But I had to look at him. I can't back down from that. The Word of God teaches it. And I had to look at him and say, I wish there were things that weren't in the Bible. I wish I could say there's no such thing as hell. I wish I could say there's no such thing as a holy God that was going to judge every sin. I wish I could say that. God gave us what He wanted us to know about Himself. Look, God's a loving God, but God's justice and God's holiness is what makes Him so loving. Because we are the transgressors against God. We are all guilty before a thrice holy God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know what? Those two co-workers I just referenced, they're trying to please God, but in their own way. They think somehow that they have something that they can go and present before God, and God's going to say, you know what? You're good enough to come into my heaven. Just come on in. That ain't Bible. It's not Bible. People look at us and they call us everything from a cult to fanatics. I don't really care what you call me. All I care about is being biblical. If that makes me a liberal, so be it. If it's in that book, I'm going to believe it. That's all I care about. I don't have to be ultra-conservative. I don't have to be ultra-liberal. All that I want is the truth. And if the truth is one way or the other way or right in the between, that's where I want to be. But to most people, my belief in the Word of God, not my own opinions, but the Word of God, which, by the way, is not of any private interpretation. It's all here. He gives us the sense of everything that He tells us. He defines everything that He tells us. There's a lot of black and white. There's also a lot of principles in there. We're not getting into any of that right now, but my point is, God is quite clear about what He means and what He does not mean. But many people, in an attempt to make the Bible conform to their lifestyle, create their own interpretations of truth, and they leave common sense behind. When the Scripture makes plain sense, seek no other sense, or you'll end up with nonsense. That's not my saying, it's somebody else's. Just in case you wanted, I'm not that smart or that slick with words. I'm concerned there's a lot of people striving to please God. Some unsaved, some saved, that are striving to live their lives to please God, but they're going all the way around faith to do it. They're trusting in their own abilities, their own way, their own thought processes or the traditions and religion that was passed down to them. It just so happens that my parents are independent Baptists. But I'm here to tell you today, that is not why I'm a Baptist. I got into the Word of God for myself and I found out that the things that they were telling me happened to be true. There are those here today whose parents were not, who taught them other things than the Word of God. And we don't have the time today, but we could start going through testimony after testimony in here of what God pulled some of those sitting in this very room from. I was blessed to be in a home that taught truth. And I was very protected. And I look back now and I thank God. Because now that I'm out working in the world, not a part of it, I just have to see it. I realize how lost, how awful state sinners are before a thrice holy God. But they're blind and they cannot see. I've never tasted a sip of alcohol in my life. I've never smoked one cigarette. I've never tried any drug other than what I needed to take for health reasons. But the way people do it today, I've never touched that stuff. I don't believe I've ever said a cuss word in my life. That's not to my credit. Because I know what goes on in here. I know what I would be were it not for the hand of God that had touched me. I want to tell you, first of all, before I get anywhere here, I'm no better than anybody sitting here. I might be dressed in something that maybe looks a little bit more expensive. I promise you it wasn't that expensive or I wouldn't have it. But on the inside, the ground's level. We're all in the same state. We're all at the same place. There's not a single one of us that's better than anybody else in here. Whether you go to church or not, it doesn't matter. Some of us might be better off, but none of us are better. Some of us might have found God already, but none of us are better. Were it not for the God of all gods and the King of Kings, in my life, there is no telling where I would be today. People look at us and they say our faith is weird. How can you believe in something you cannot see? How can you trust in something you cannot touch? Kind of seems unreasonable, doesn't it? I mean, kind of foolish, doesn't it? Except for one thing. God makes up the difference. We choose to believe in God by faith. Faith has to be defined anymore. Because there's a lot of people out there that they are going to tell you that faith is simply belief. I'm going to play some word games with you, unfortunately because I have to, not because I want to. Head belief is not the same thing as heart belief. Get that down. The Bible gives us many examples, especially in Acts during kind of a transition period. One of them is a man called Simon the Sorcerer. And the Bible says of him that he believed, but he didn't have the Holy Spirit. You know what that tells me? Here the apostles came preaching that the Messiah has come. And for anybody familiar with the Jewish religion, they had looked for thousands of years for the coming Messiah, the fulfillment of the Word of God. Now He had come, and the apostles go and they begin to preach and teach. He is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the promised one. And it fit within their religion. And so you find that there's a great company of the priests and Pharisees even and regular Jews that all were willing to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But they were not saved. And they started trying to mix. both the truths of the Messiah or our Savior with all the teaching of the Old Testament law. And they would say, yeah, you can go to heaven. Yes, He's the Messiah, but you've got to obey the law if you're going to get to heaven. You've got to do this along with believing in Him, and that'll get you to heaven. I tell you, that belief was a belief without a birth. That belief was something up here. They agreed with a couple intellectual facts. He is God. Oh yeah, we agree with that. We know that. He is Lord. Oh, okay, okay. He died, He buried, He rose again. Nobody in that day could argue that. It was quite obvious. They believed all these things, but yet they weren't saved. What is the difference between faith and belief? What's the difference? Faith is based on the Word of God, but faith is not just a head knowledge, it is a heart trust on the promises of God. That's what makes us so weird. That's what makes us so different. Faith isn't some crazy off-the-wall thing. Faith is not foolishness. It might seem like that from the outside, but when I believe that this book is the Word of God and that God gave us His Word for a reason and God makes promises in here, then I am foolish enough to believe that what God said He would do and what God said He can do, He still can, He still will, He still does. And if that seems foolish to some of you, that's your opinion. But my faith is rested on a right foundation, the Word of God. That's what makes the difference. We're going to start reading here in verse number 4. I want to give you 4 steps that faith ought to be taking in your life, or faith will take in your life. The first one is absolutely critical. I've already been hammering all the way around it. The first one's absolutely critical to whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. If you do not get the first step down, the rest will not matter. I'm going to say faith, step number 1, faith trusts God. I want you to look with me in verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. I would hope most of us are somewhat familiar with Cain versus Abel. But in case you're not, because there's some here that might not be, I'm going to give you a quick recap here. Adam and Eve are the first two created beings, God, or the world as we know it, from as the Bible records, they're the first family. They're the ones, God placed them in the Garden of Eden. They sinned, God kicked them out. Now the curse of sin was upon all mankind, and God had to sacrifice something in their stead. Something had to die. We come to their boys, Cain and Abel. Cain being the firstborn, Abel being the second. And it came to a place in their life where they had to make a choice. They had to follow God for themselves. Some of you children in here, or younger people I should say, you've not had to make that decision yet. But there will come a time in your life that you have to decide whether the God of mommy and daddy is my God. Is what they are telling me the truth, or is it what my school teachers say? Is it what the church says, or is it what the government says? You're going to have to decide that at some point. Well, Cain and Abel came to a place in their life where they're probably getting out on their own, and now it's time for them to find God, if you'll allow me to say that way. Now, we don't have a record of it, but somewhere, some way, somehow, God told them what needed to happen. Because somehow, Abel knew that God required a blood sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, decided he is going to get all smart. You see, Abel, he already kept the sheep. Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. So Cain decided to take the very best thing that he had to give to God. So he gathered whatever percentage of it was of the first fruits that he had, and he takes them to offer them to God, and God doesn't accept it. However, God does accept Abel's offering. Here to tell you why. One put trust in a blood sacrifice. The other put trust in self-ability. One was trusting in the blood of a lamb. The other was trusting in the works of his flesh. If you are not trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, if you do not understand that it is God alone that died on the cross for your sins, He's the only one that can get you to heaven by your faith in Him, and you're going any other way, you're going the way of Cain. You're trying a different route than what God intended. Faith, in the first step, puts trust in the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the whole world. And if your faith is not solely rested in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the man, the God-man that died on the cross, if your faith is not anchored in Him, you've missed it. If you think it's Him and my baptism, or Him and my good works, or Him and the money that I give to the church, or Him and good morals, you're mistaken. That's not Bible. I'm not trying to be mean. I have got to preach what the Bible says. And this is what God gave me to preach. Some of you might believe differently. If you believe differently, I challenge you, get in the Word of God for yourself and find out whether or not I'm saying is truthful or not. But I can promise you, it's true. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. But I'm telling you it's true. Abel's sacrifice trusted in the blood of a lamb. Now, it was all a picture. That lamb that Abel offered was looking to a sacrifice that would come. Hebrews earlier on tells us that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But there was one lamb that came that could. Romans chapter 4 and 5. Tell us of the faith of Abraham and David. Their faith was resting in a promise of God, not the land of promise for Abraham, but the promised seed, the coming Messiah. And they in faith believed that one day He would take the sin of the world. I don't know how much they knew about that, but their faith in the promised Messiah, who was Jesus Christ, their faith in Jesus Christ all the way before He ever came was what saved them that day. That is what God counted to them for righteousness. But Abel's sacrifice teaches us something else. It excludes any trust you can have in your own works or your own abilities. Hebrews 4 and 2 tells us about faith that was mixed of some. There's a lot of people today that claim to know God. Something doesn't match up somewhere. Many times they're trusting in what they can do on top of what God's done. It's either pure faith and trust in God, or it's nothing. There is no between. But that blood of the Lamb is what Abel was able to obtain, witness of God, the testimony of God, declaring him to be righteous. Same way for us today. Once we've gotten that step nailed down, now we can change gears again. Some of you here may have never nailed that down. If you've not nailed down your faith and trust in the blood of Christ alone, nothing else matters. You need to get with God and find out where you stand with God. Step number two. I'm going to move away from that. I had a bit of a burden for that this morning, and I don't know why. I don't know who's here, who's not trusted Him, but you better respond if God's knocking at your heart's door. You better respond. These truths about heaven and hell that we've been teaching and preaching and singing about, they are soon to come to pass. It's not long. It's not long, and He's coming back. It's not long, and God will judge sin. It's not long. Sinner, you have a very short space to decide. And for you to say, I'll put it off, is to reject Him. And God doesn't have to give second chances. I'm thankful He does, but He doesn't have to. Step number one, faith, trust in God. But what about us, those of us who are saved? We want to please God, right? Don't we? You know, God intended us not just to be saved by faith, but to live by faith. You know, I want my life to be a Hebrews 11 type of life. I wish there was some way I could assure that I'm going to make it to the hall of faith in God's eyes. I know I won't make it to Scripture. It's already been written. But in God's eyes, I want to be just like this. I want somewhere when I die for God to be able to say, by faith, Jimmy did this. He obeyed. He did this or this or this by faith. Say it's by faith means we knew it was God doing it all the time. This really got my wheels turning because I believe every single one of us in here can live a life of faith just like they did. We're not going to make it to the record of Scripture, but we can please God. How do we do it? Verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Something interesting about both him and Noah that the Old Testament tells us is that they both walked with God. Step number 2, listen, faith walks with God. There's a lot of people claiming faith, a trust in Christ, but they have no fellowship with Him. I'm really skeptical of that kind of faith. If your faith isn't enough to get you in church, if your faith is not enough to give you a desire to talk with God, you've got a problem somewhere. But listen, you young people especially, I would hope that most of us know this truth. I'm not preaching anything new. You're going to get nowhere with God in your Christian life until you learn to walk with Him. Before we get the cart before the horse, it's a good thing to be working and doing all that you can for God. I will not ever discredit that at all. But if you don't get your walk with God nailed down right, your work for God doesn't matter. How many times have we began to try to work for Him without ever having been empowered by Him? Gives us something there in chapter number 6. Enoch had learned to diligently seek God. If this church, if our spiritual lives are ever to go forward, they only can go forward on our knees. There's been times that's only been a statement, a quote from somebody in my heart. But the more I look at the Word of God, the more I realize how true that is. It's not just some fancy quote that looks good to put on a picture on the wall. It's everything. God's work moves on by prayer. And without prayer, it stops. We can be busy as we want, but without prayer, it does nothing. But I've got faith enough in the Word of God to believe that if I get a hold of Him in prayer, I can see Him do things in my life. If I get a hold of Him in prayer, I can see Him do things in other people's life because it's a prayer of faith. There ought to be a walk with God in your life, and if you do not have a personal relationship with God, you better check up. Faith trusts in God. Faith walks with God. Step number 3, faith follows God. It's a mark of true faith, true belief in God, is obedience to Him. Those who say they believe but do not obey, I'm skeptical of. I just am. I'm not going to say they didn't get it, but I have a hard time believing them. I began to think about all these people brought up in Hebrews chapter 11. You've got Abel, you've got Enoch, you have Abraham, you have Isaac and Jacob, you have Sarah, even it says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. All these people, and many more names are in there. And I began to realize every single thing that they did, every single work that they did, what they are known for in their life, was only done because of their obedience to the Word of God. Look in their life. Somewhere God said, for instance, to Noah, judgment's coming, build an ark. He built an ark. What do we know him for? Noah, build an ark! Well, he didn't just go do that randomly. The point is, he had the Word of God on something, and by faith he believed the Word of God, and it moved him to action. And he did something for God because of his belief in God. A lot of us today, I wonder if we're not spinning our wheels trying to do things for God, but we forget to take time to get direction from God. And a work without Him is useless. I'm not taking a stab at anything in particular at all. I'm just throwing it out there. Begin to think, you know, there's a reason that the what, the how, and the why we do what we do really matters. Because if God's not in it, it doesn't. And so here's where my mind began to go. Do I want to make a mark for God? Do you want to make a mark for God? I would hope the answer is yes. I want to make a mark for God. I want to have something to be able to say I did for Him. Then I just begin to think a little bit, and they just started things popping in my mind, and I'll try to share them with you as God gave them to me. First one, faith accomplishes big things for God, right? It does, but in little steps. Not a single one of them did everything all overnight. Noah took 120 years to build that ark that he is known for. You know how many just menial days, boring days that took to get to 120 years? Back to sawing the logs. Now we're putting them up. He probably just felt like a construction worker building some really weird project. Only God had told him to do it. We know him today for what he did for God. That took him a lot of time to do. Abraham did not get to where he did without steps. I think God many times gives us his will step by step. He don't drop it all on us at once. There's not necessarily a big dramatic change all overnight. It's little by little God reveals his will, and he expects you to take a step. And only as you step out in obedience will he give you the next step. And if you keep on doing that, by the time you get to the end of the life, you're going to look back and, my, what has God done with my life? I hope you want to do big things for God. I hope we don't serve a small God. My God is just as much able as he ever has been to do anything that he wants. Problem's never been with him. I know we can talk about the soil of the sinner and all, and I'm not talking about any of that even. I'm just saying, I want to do something for God. I hope you do. And my sights are set on something big. But it's going to probably be accomplished little by little as I just follow Him day by day. I might not notice what all is going on. I might not realize how much God is doing. But as long as I stay trusting in His Word and in obedience to Him, that's all I need to make a mark for God. It's all I need. Some of us might need to start stepping according to the Word of God and allowing it to dictate our lives rather than doing what we think is best. Let me also say, faith has never been presumption. There are those today that think that faith is just picking something wild that I want to do for God and it just somehow happens. I'm here to tell you, faith obeys. And that's what makes it a work of faith. Faith's foundation has always been in the Word of God. Don't launch out and start trying to do something that God's not giving you liberty to do. You're going to end up in a mess. It's not blind faith. It's obedient walking. One other thing I want to give you about this before we move on. Faith doesn't look at personal inability. You know how many times God has maybe laid out giving somebody a step to take? Think of it. Think of Abraham if he looked at his personal inability. God said, by you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I'm going to give you a seed of a nation. But then, of course, the promised seed was in that. Don't forget, Abraham was 90-some years old. The first time God told him it, he laughed. It's kind of impossible now. I'm too old for that. If he had looked at his own inability, he'd have never taken a step. Faith doesn't look at my ability because it doesn't matter into the equation. Faith looks at God's ability. I can tell you right now, I'm nothing. I can't do anything if it were not for God's help. God doing it, really. God may expect some very big things of some of you young people here. If what I see now is any indication, God's going to use some of you in a major way. I believe that. But don't ever get so focused on self that you say, I can't do what God's telling me to do. Because what God calls you to do, He will enable you to do. He will empower you to do it. And that's the only way it ever gets done. You don't have ability. That's right. I don't have ability. That's right. They're gifts from God. Faith looks at God's ability. If you want to make a mark for God, you're going to have to take your hands off the control of your life and give the control to God and His Word. And let me say this before I move on. Some people never will go on with God simply because they will not go any farther in His Word. That link between the Word of God and faith is there. You can't deny it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we only can live lives of faith and more faith as we apply the Word of God to our lives. And if you're not willing to dig in and apply it, you're not going anywhere. That's where faith is at. Faith's in the obedience. But lastly, thought of this, faith waits on God. We could read towards the end of the chapter here. It tells us, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Did God pay with a false wage? He told them He was going to do all these things, and now it's not happened, and they die believing it's going to happen, and it never happened. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or mature. They had faith in what God said. And they died believing it still is coming, it just hasn't happened yet. And for some of them, thousands of years down the road, God did exactly what He said He would do. They didn't let that overthrow their faith. A lot of us, especially as young people, I think we're looking for big things to be going on. And that's a good thing. I don't want to dampen the zeal at all. But sometimes God works in smaller ways, but when you put them all together, it's a huge thing. Sometimes you don't always actually get to see everything that God's doing, but that doesn't mean He's not doing it. For those thousands of years, God was protecting that seed line, guiding, shaping, and moving situations and such to where one day, all the way in the beginning of Matthew and John, some of those give that account, I guess, or Luke does, Jesus Christ was born, the fulfillment of all the promises. The fulfillment of all the prophecies, over 355 some prophecies that He fulfilled. It would have been impossible if it weren't for God. They never saw it, but God's let us see it. With that backdrop, you come to chapter number 12. I'm just going to read the first two verses. We're almost done. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And notice this next phrase. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, if you're like me, that kind of sounds funny. If I'm running a race, I'm running to win. I'm sorry. I am not going to just slow down just to let somebody else pass me up. I'm very competitive. But He says, run with patience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is maybe more for even the young people. Sometimes God puts our lives in a holding pattern. Sometimes God gives us a step that He expects us to take. We take the step, and we're waiting. God, what's next? God, where's the next step? God, what can I do? God, I've got to do something. Don't let me stay here. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. You ever think about how much time was in between the recorded times God would talk to Abraham, give him a promise, and then he'd just disappear? I'm not saying Abraham didn't fellowship with him, but you just don't see it. And then all of a sudden, God would show back up and give him the next direction when it was time. Young people, we've got to learn to wait on Him and not to get ahead of Him. See, these men and women that we look at that made it to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, they did not ever fly away overnight. It took them a lifetime to get there. You want to be in the hall of faith, it's going to take a life lived by faith, not just a moment. But these men and women, simply as they would follow God step by step and day by day, by the end of their lives, they had accomplished something great for God. Young people, I'm just going to leave you with three more things here, very quickly, just little statements, really. Don't be afraid of small beginnings. Some of you might think you can't do anything. Just start. Do what God's given you to do here. Be here. Make yourself a part of the work of God here. This is where God has you. It might be something small. We'll do it to the best of your ability. God will give you more when it's time. Just get in. Don't stay on the outskirts. Don't stay on the outside. Get in the work of God. If you stay on the outside, you're never going to do anything for God. You're going to miss your mark. Just start. Secondly, don't be afraid of waiting. There's a missionary, I think it was Jim Elliot, but I'm not 100% sure. One of the famous missionary said, God gives His best to those who wait for it. Young people, Satan's going to tempt you with a lot of things. A lot of times he's trying to get you to get ahead of God. It's going to be maybe some candidate for marriage that you've waited so long and now it's just like, oh, he's here. That has to be the one because I'm getting too old for that. Make sure he's the right one. There's a lot of frauds out there. That's just an example. Young person, maybe God's calling you to preach. Make sure it's Him. But if it's Him, you'll follow. You'll know. That's the thing. When God speaks, you're never left in doubt. If there's doubt, you better wait. When God speaks, it's clear. You'll know. Don't be afraid of waiting for the next step. You know what? I probably could ask Job this or anybody that's been in the military, because Job's been in a military family. But what happens when you're given orders and you wait a year and no new orders have come? From what they tell me, the old orders still stand. That's what God expects of us. If God's not giving you the next step, then the old orders still stand. Don't move. Wait. That's really all three of it. Faith takes steps. Faith will take you places for God. Faith trusts God. It trusts in the Word of God. It takes Him at faith value. Faith walks with God. It has a personal relationship with Him. How else do we know what He's going to say to us? Faith follows the Word of God, step by step, principle by principle. And faith waits on God. I just want to ask you, are these things in your life? Do you want to live a life of faith? I believe that's a way you can. Pastor, do you want to do the invitation? Okay. Everybody standing, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar's open. If God's dealt with your heart, come do business with Him. If not, we'll be done.